So the next, now we're on to the Elections Committee. And Bob Letter, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much. So, take it away.
Thank you. Okay, well, the Elections Committee has been working for a while on methods of cutting costs for these elections, which have been very expensive over the years, and in light of the ongoing crisis, we want to contribute any possible ideas. So the first thing is that the Pacifica National Board 2 years ago mandated that going forward, all elections will have an electronic balloting component. Now, the bylaw says that all elections must have a paper ballot, even if there's also an electronic component to it, in order to make sure they're accessible to everyone. So this year's election will have both. And I think John Prophet can speak to the dialogue he's had with the National Election Supervisor about the particular companies that she's very carefully reviewed and made a selection, which he has agreed with, a company called simplyvoting.com, which is reasonably priced, very secure, has a lot of services. I can't give you details on that, but that is about to go forward. Before I move to the motion, John, did you want to add anything on that?
No, Bob. I think you covered it. I, you know, listened to Joy's presentation about the vendor she proposed, and it looked good. I saw nothing exceptional about it. Thus, my approval. But I can't speak to, the background of this company, having not worked with it before.
Okay. All right. So that's just a backdrop. That in itself, having an electronic element, will cut costs in terms of people being given the right to opt out of getting a mailing. And Joy is going to work on, L. Joy Williams, the National Election Supervisor, is going to work on publicizing that option for listeners. And there's a very easy online way to opt out of getting a printed mailing. And also that will lower the cost as far as the return envelope that Pacifica in the past has paid for. So now moving on to the proposals before you, the motion contains two cost-cutting methods.
Bob, may I just interrupt so that we're all following along and you didn't get our agenda, I don't think, although it might be posted. I believe Janet said it was posted. So this is Appendix C.
Right.
Everyone, page 7, if you printed it out. And so go ahead, Bob. Sorry for the interruption.
C and D.
That's correct. Go ahead.
Okay. So before I just read the motion, let me give a little important background. There are two cost-cutting proposals contained within one motion. Just for simplicity, we wrapped it up in a package. The first is to use bulk rate postage rather than first-class postage for the mailing of the ballot and the package for the voters, which has always contained the ballot, the candidate statements, a fundraising appeal letter, and a return envelope. That will save, according to Joy's calculations, approximately $17,000. She has also had extensive discussions with the post office about their best estimate of the mailing time, because bulk rate does go slower. But that she's been assured that the maximum, and it's often much less than the maximum, would be about 2 weeks. And so she built into her calendar the election return date of an extra 10 days, which was already 6 weeks. So now it's essentially 7.5 weeks to allot for any possible delays in voters getting their ballots because of the use of bulk rate. So that's the first proposal contained in that motion. And then the second one is to, instead of using the bylaws mandated size of each candidate statement, which is 500 words per person, it would say that each candidate will only be allocated 200 words, just to save on the paper that would be needed to print a 500-word statement for every single candidate. This is similar to what Pacifica, the PNB, voted to do in the 2012 elections, so we thought that was an important measure to continue. Now, also, we want to just mention something that's not in this motion because we voted not to approve a proposal from the National Election Supervisor, and that was not to do a printed mailing with all the, with the ballot and the candidate statement, but instead to merely do two postcards, a smaller one before the ballot mailing date to alert people about how they can go online to get the materials, or they can make a request for a paper ballot to be sent to them, and then the second ballot would be with their unique code for the electronic voting. The savings that she projected from that method were only about $5,000, and I think we did not approve that, and I think the strong sentiment on the committee was that given that there's still a lot of people in our listenership who are not fully online or are uncomfortable working online or don't have easy access, that it would really risk disenfranchising a lot of potential voters to go that route, and when in fact the savings would not be substantial, and that that could be certainly considered down the line once, you know, we introduce electronic voting this year, we start to educate our voters about how it works, that then maybe this could be considered in a future year, but not for this year. So that's why that's not contained in the motion. So that's the explanation. Let me just read out for the stream the motion itself, and then I'll stop. Whereas Pacifica continues to be in severe financial crisis, and whereas the National Election Supervisor has recommended that the election materials for the upcoming election be sent to voters via bulk rate mail, which she estimates would save approximately $17,000, along with a business reply envelope to make it easy for voters to return their ballot and contribution to offset costs, and whereas the National Election Supervisor has issued an election timeline that includes the option of a 10-day extension of the period for ballot mailing in return from 45 to 55 days if bulk rate mailing is decided, to ensure that all voters have adequate time to receive and return their ballots, resolved that the Elections Committee recommends that the Pacifica National Board approve bulk rate mailing of initial election materials to voters. Further, the Elections Committee recommends that abbreviated candidate statements of up to 200 words be printed on the least expensive paper and included in the paper packet sent to all members. The packet will include notice that the full 500-word statements and questionnaire answers are available online, and instructions for members who want the full 500-word statements to request a mailing of the full-length printed booklet via a toll-free number or an email address. In addition, each station will make announcements on their airwaves and websites drafted by the National Election Supervisor explaining the availability of full-length printed booklets. And that's the motion.
Okay. Thank you. I have, first, do other people have questions, comments, or can we pass
it? Brian with a question.
Brian?
Is the election supervisor going to be editing down statements, or is it on the candidates to come up with two different versions of their statements?
It's the candidate's responsibility. She included that in the packet that's been online since nominations opened on June 15th, that they should submit two versions, a 500-word version and a 200-word version.
Bob?
Yes.
But they're not required to do 500, right? If they just want to do 200, the 200 will be accepted?
Yeah. My understanding of the way this has always worked, and this year is no different, is that the bylaws allow people to have a 500-word statement, but if they want to write less, that's
yeah.
fine.
So
they have to write
to,
something.
Right, but it's up to 500, so.
Right.
Is that correct? Okay.
Right.
Janet K.
Okay, and then I have another question, but Janet, go ahead. Janet Benito.
And Jim Brown.
Okay. Janet Benito, Jim Brown.
Okay, I just want to go on record that I am against electronic voting, especially Pacifica setting a precedent for that because of all of the problems, hacking, etc. So I just want to go on record.
Rodrigo, is that?
Who is that? Rodrigo? Okay.
Yes.
Benito, Jim Brown, Rodrigo.
Well, 2 points. People can hear me. Yeah, Bob, I didn't hear what you said about what is it that the Elections Committee rejected the proposal from the NES to do what?
Okay.
And that's number one. Number two, I have some the nomination process that I'd like to come back.
Okay, Bob, you want to respond to that?
Yes. If you look in your Appendix D that says NES's voter mail budgets for stations, it explains her proposal, which we did not accept, and I'll just read it. Two short sentences. One large postcard with voter education, candidate information, phone number to request printed ballot to be sent following the confirmation of candidates, and then later another postcard to be sent with voter instructions and website link with unique code for the voter to log in and complete their vote when the voting period begins. And that would have also cost $46,000, whereas the full mailing is $51,000. So we didn't think the savings justified the potential disenfranchisement of some voters who are less tech, web accessible.
Thank you. Jim Brown and Benito, can you mute? Yes, who is that?
Brian, can Benito please mute?
I did.
Oh, then it's not Benito.
Oh, sorry.
Everybody mute unless you're on the stack to talk. Okay, Jim Brown.
Yes, we have a particular problem at WPFW where we have a lot of our listeners, a lot of the community folks, especially the elderly folks who do not have computers and who have not been able to get their hands on material on just the candidate information to fill out the forms and so forth. Somebody there downloaded and copied the entire package for them so they could come to the station and pick it up. And I want to know if that's okay for them to do that. Secondly, we have no LES there at this moment. What are they to do with this information when they get it? They have no instructions whatsoever.
Wow. Okay. Bob.
Well, unfortunately, I can't speak for the National Election Supervisor, so I can't give you any definitive answers. I can only go on things that she's told our committee, unless John Prophet might happen to know the answers. On the first point, I don't. Okay. I do remember hearing her say that while there is a requirement that you, that if you want a packet, you put in your name and you download it, once something's downloaded, there's nothing to stop someone from passing it on. So that's what she said. That's all I can tell you on that. And as far as the local election supervisor, I don't know her schedule of appointing someone. I wish I knew, but I can't help you there. You should definitely email her immediately and ask.
I did.
Okay.
Okay. Rodrigo.
Benito, stop going.
Okay, Rodrigo and then Benito. Rodrigo.
Yes, can you hear me?
Sí, yeah,
yes.
We can.
Okay, two questions. One is, at the last PNB meeting, we approved that every radio station would have a kind of teaching over the air, I think that was 4 minutes a month, something for, to kind of give a brief description of the courses and all that stuff. And I wanted to know if the EGMs from the different signals have been notified that they got to do that. And that's one question. The other question is, for the staff, whether pay or unpaid, there is a updating, the list, the list of the members or the pay and unpaid staff, especially unpaid, which because it's more like more difficult to know, who's been providing 30 hours, of work, but even up to this week, you know, some unpaid staff sent out to the GM here at KPSK the list of the of its membership, but you know, hasn't been let's say certified yet. You know, they haven't gotten any response yet. Now, is it okay? Is it gonna be official as long as the people, let's say, are responsible of one program that sent the list of the members, as long as they have, you know, the documents that those lists were sent before the 14th, is it gonna be okay? Is it gonna be, are they gonna be able to be, eligible and also to be, you know, to vote? That's the question.
Bob, yeah, again, I'm, you know, I'm not in a position to answer those. It really only Joy can do that. I can tell you in every past election that I can recall, although the supervisors, including Joy this year, have tried to collect the staff list before the date of record, which in our case is this coming Tuesday, the 14th, that they continue to work on updating them or work with the stations to make sure that they update them after that. So it's not a question of if your name isn't submitted. I'm talking only about staff. Listeners is a whole different reality. But for staff, that work has always continued after the deadline to perfect the list and make sure no one gets left out. So I'm guessing that she's going to follow that precedent. As far as, let's see, your first question was about the four-minute tutorial.
Yeah, the tutorial.
I don't know the answer. John, have you heard whether that's ready yet to go on the air?
I have not.
Okay. So, yeah, that's...
Brian here. At KPFA, we got it today.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I have a question is, excuse me, since we're going to use bulk mail, which I've always preferred first-class mail, but I understand the situation. Is the election supervisor going to provide a date by which we can expect our ballots to be received so that we start calling after that date? In other words, if she's saying 2 weeks later, then is she going to publicize the fact that if you have not received your ballot by, you know, 2 weeks later, contact me? And that's one, and of course you may not know the answer to that. And what was the other? Since she has been meeting with the election committee, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So perhaps you can, I think you heard all of the questions, if you can perhaps send the questions to the election supervisor and then let us know what her response is. Then
sure.
That'll cut down on the volume of individual emails to her. I think
sure.
From what I heard, one of the most pressing ones was the LES at WPFW. The other issue is, Serene, I don't know if you want to speak to what you recommended online in an email about extending perhaps the date by which people can apply.
Sure. The deadline is supposed to be Tuesday the 14th. It's both the record date and the close of nomination. I think 10 p.m. is the cutoff for a nomination packet being submitted. At the WBI LSD meeting last night, the NES was present. Our LES was present, Mr. Johnson, Jim Johnson, and made a presentation to the board. It took some questions from the board and I believe members of the public, and the overwhelming sentiment, actually a lot of voting got done last night to the count of 4-9 or vice versa. I believe 9 people voted to indicated their strong preference for an extension of the closest nomination date, and I know that Jim wrote to the board earlier, and Benito also saying that their board, I think unanimously, asked for an extension. Part of the problem is that I know that there are 2 stations that were late getting the notices on their website, and I'm not clear about the frequency with which everyone meaning all five stations have been playing the card so that folks know what's happening. So my request to John and to Joy, I don't mean to apply public pressure, but I'm just repeating, I'm just telling you guys what was in the email, to Joy to extend the nomination date and likely the record date so that folks don't get confused about which date what happens, and also to ask, to suggest to John that if in fact Joy does make that determination, that he write to the full listenership for whom we have email addresses either at the national office or at all the stations, notifying them of the process and the deadlines and so forth.
Sure, we could do that, but I would ask Joy as the NES to draft whatever that message is, and I'll be more than happy to send it over my signature.
Great.
Okay, and I think Bob is going to do the same, right? Send all of these issues, Bob?
To Joy, yeah, for the questions.
Yeah, questions. Okay, terrific.
Okay.
So now we're back to the motion. Yes, Janet?
Well, I would like to see all that spelled out, everything that Doreen just said, you know, written out, and, and I don't know whether we would require a motion to recommend that XYZ happen. We recommend to the NES.
This is Serene.
Yeah, I think Bob knows to do that because of the bylaws. We can't dictate, but Serene?
Yeah, I was going to say I don't think that's necessary as the committee chair and someone who's been involved with elections for a long time and his own tendency to be excessively accurate. I'm sure the email will be very clear about what people raised as concerns.
Okay.
Benito.
Thank you. Who is it? Benito? Okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to, if I understand then, all these details about problems at various stations, we're supposed to send to Bob, and he will work with the...
Just the questions will be submitted to the NES, and including the request to extend the date for submission and possibly the record date. Okay.
Can I clarify?
You lost
me,
Benito.
I called people's attention. I sent an email supporting Serene's suggestion for extending nomination period and laying out the issues for our station in particular.
Benito, it's really hard to understand you. You're going in and out. Are you not on your Skype phone?
I'll just send more information to Bob and the NES.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good. Okay, so now we're back to the motion. Are there any objections to the motion?
Carolyn, yes.
Okay, sure. Carolyn?
Yes, I object.
Oh, okay, you didn't want to say anything. Okay.
Generally, okay. Yes, if I need to spell it out, I have been continually...
A little louder, Carolyn.
I have been continually objecting to the fact that we are not yet moving into electronic balloting and are still talking about cost savings and bulk mailing. And my general objection to that, much as I admire the work that's been done on this, and I appreciate the efforts, it's more than just a philosophical difference. It's going to cost us seriously, and so I'm sorry to say that I would like to have seen electronic balloting stressed rather than mailing, and first class used instead of bulk, and so on. So those are my general objections.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So can we call the roll on this? Janet?
Alan, KPFQ. Alan, KPFT.
Alan votes yes.
Alan, yes. Agueta, KPFK.
Pass.
Agueta passes. Burden, WBAI.
No.
Burden votes no. Jim Brown, WPFW.
Yes.
Jim Brown votes yes. Steve Brown, WBAI.
Yes.
Steve Brown votes yes. Kesmaid, KPFT.
Yes.
Kesmaid votes yes. Coleman, WBAI. Coleman, unmute.
Yes.
Yes.
Coleman.
Sorry. Coleman votes yes. And Diaz, WPFW.
Hey, hey.
Diaz votes yes. Edward Seeker, KPFA.
Yes.
Edward Seeker votes yes. Fuentes, KPFA.
Yes.
Fuentes, yes. Coburn, KPFA, yes. Lane Ewert, KFAI affiliate.
Yes.
Lane Ewert, yes. Mark, KPFT.
Mark votes yes.
Mark, yes. Medina, Norman, WPFW.
Yes.
Norman, yes. Rabin, WBQR affiliate. Ryder, KPFT.
Yes.
Ryder, yes. Roberts, WBAI.
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes.
Roberts, yes. Tucker, WPFW.
Yes.
Tucker, yes. Agueta, you passed?
Yes.
Agueta votes yes. And Rabin? Didn't hear you. Okay, one moment. I have 16 yes, one no. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Yes, the chair votes yes.
Fazan votes yes. That's 17-1. Zero abstentions.
Okay. Thank you. So your next motion, Bob?
No, that was the only motion.
Oh, the whole thing was in the
right,
two.
It was all
okay.
Contained in one.
Okay. So I think that, thank you very much for joining us.
Okay,
and
thank
we'll
you.
Move on to our next committee report. Thank you, Bob.
Okay.
And let us know how that goes with the questions and send us your responses.
I will.
Also. Okay, thank you.
Point of inquiry?
Yes?
Can we deal with that finance committee motion which we've received, the one that came up during the ED's report about the auditor?
About the audit. Oh, was it? So, did it turn out to be a motion?
Yes, and Brian sent it to us.
Okay, it will take a 2/3 vote. Does anybody have any objection to passing this motion? Which I wasn't looking at it. So,
anyway,
passing the motion about. Go ahead, read it, Serene. So.
I'm looking at the wrong Brian motion. Brian, where's your other motion? They came one right after the other. Okay, here it is.
You have it?
Yeah, I got it. That KPFA be asked to advance one half of the money due for the FY13 audit to be considered as central services, as advanced central services payment.
Okay. Thank you. Can we, is there any objection to adding that before we go on to the next committee report, Janet?
Janet, I have a point of information. So this motion was passed at a finance committee. What date?
I think it was the second.
It was like 2 weeks ago. If you look on the calendar, you'll see it was at our last meeting. If you look at the KPFTX calendar, it was in, fix that in the, okay. That's not part of the motion anyway, but it is brought by the Finance Committee. So is there any objection to dealing with this motion prior to the next committee report? Okay, hearing no objection, let's take
let's have another reading of the motion. And can you read it again, Serene?
Off of it, sorry, one second. That KPFA be asked to advance one half of the money due for the FY13 audit to be considered as advanced central services payment.
Is there any objection to the motion?
Point. I'm sorry, Alan here. Can you hear me?
Oh, good, Teresa. It's you because I think you recommended it and it already happened. Go ahead.
Okay, but I'm confused, and maybe I just was drifting off. We're only advancing half of what is needed. I mean, it doesn't sound like they're going to finish the audit until we actually pay it in full.
Okay, and John can clarify this, but at the time we had the Finance Committee, and again, that was only a couple of weeks ago, that what he requested was half because that's what he had spoken to the auditors about, and they were fine with that. Is that still the case, John?
We've been waiting to get some kind of a response from Armenino, and they have not been forthcoming. So I discussed this with I'm not sure if Raul has been on that discussion with Efren and me or not, but Efren's feeling is that they're essentially balking
at half,
but I think on the other hand, an extended time payment plan should be a possibility.
Okay, but we need clarification on what you
right.
need to be voted on tonight, 30 or the 60?
Well,
Alan for the stack.
Okay, first, Teresa, let's get a clarification from John.
What would be helpful if the board so chooses would be to vote for the entire amount, and any negotiated down with Armenino could be refunded to KPFA.
Okay. Brian, can you figure out that wording? And then while Teresa speaks?
Well, the amendment would be to strike the words one half of.
Thank you. Teresa?
Yeah, I find it somewhat disconcerting to be discussing in a public session how we're going to be strategizing about paying a creditor. Because to me, that just seems odd. But I would suggest that somehow we just put something in the motion and give the executive director the power to get this money and handle it the way it needs to be handled. Just as an option
for maybe
Brian Edwards-Ticker to consider that we just authorize the money and then have our ED handle it from there.
Okay, Brian, do you think that added wording is necessary or is it a given?
To be honest, KPFA has already advanced pension payments for half our station without any kind of resolution from the board. I mean, I think it's within management's authority to move money around to meet the cash needs of the foundation. And I think Teresa's point about it not being particularly well advised to discuss creditor relationships in a public session is well taken. I think we should not spend much time discussing this if we're going to vote on it.
Okay, thank you.
Janica, points of information?
Yes.
Okay, so my understanding, this is a motion that has been brought from the Finance Committee.
That's correct.
And then the discussion to remove half, striking half of, would be a PND amendment, is that correct?
That's correct, but that's not defined in the motion. There's a motion is sent to us, and it's not defined as this is committee, and that is not. So
I'm just trying to understand whether we have a motion and then we have an amendment to that motion.
We do. The amendment is simply to strike half.
Okay.
So my question is there any objection to the striking of half? And first of all, was there a second to the amendment?
Alan will second that.
Okay, Alan seconds the amendment. Is there any objection to striking half? Hearing no objection. Now the motion as amended. Is there any objection to the motion as amended? Thank you. Hearing no objection, the motion passes.
Point of information.
Yes, John.
Brian mentioned that the ED actually, or perhaps even the CFO, if we had one, actually already has the authority to take money out of station accounts and use it for the purposes of the foundation. Is that correct?
That's not. I don't think that he actually said take money out of the account. I think what he said is that he can work with the monies that are at different stations to make things work. Meaning, you interact with those same managers to advance that.
Point right of information, now. Please.
Yes, John.
Who said that?
That was George.
Said that.
George.
The network has legal obligations that involve money. We had a legal obligation to fund our retirement fund by a deadline in June. If management doesn't grab money from wherever it can in the network to satisfy that obligation, it is not living up to its duty of care.
I don't think that was the question. I think the question is, why are we needing to pass a motion? And the reason is because there is still, the individual stations still have their individual bank accounts with individual general managers. The bequest was sent to a particular station that was working with things it had planned to use the money for. And so obviously it's helpful for the executive director to have a mandate from the finance committee and now from the board that says we need this money desperately to get the CPB to reimburse you for the many advances type of thing. And so it's just a helpful gesture. He could have certainly gone on his own, but he's had to go to that well several times. I could be mischaracterizing this. John, do you think that makes
Lydia,
sense?
Lydia, that's extremely well expressed.
Thank you.
The fact is, the bequest we're talking about has already been tapped several times, and I'm not going to make any further comments. I think
right. I think it's pretty clear now.
Yeah.
So are there any objections?
That wasn't quite the answer to the question. The question really was, does the ED really need the permission of the general managers to do this? Or does he actually have access to the accounts
wishes
to exercise it?
Yes,
may I
leaving
comment,
aside the question of whether you would want to exercise it that way.
I think in the case of a designated gift, whether it's legally restricted or not, if the gift is designated to KPFA for a certain function, I think it's highly inappropriate to quote-unquote raid that account. Whether it's possible or not, it would be something that I would be, without direction from the PNB, extremely reluctant to do.
Okay, thank you.
And just to be clear, sorry, this is Brian. May I, Lydia?
Sure, of course. Go ahead.
You know, this is basically landing on KPFA's balance sheet as an IOU. That money is due back to KPFA. It's the cash that's moving, but not the the value that the cash represents.
That's correct.
And I would say, you know, George, I believe our executive director is an authorized signatory on all accounts. We passed a resolution to that effect, which means he can do that. It's also an extremely bad practice to move money around without involving the local managers in that decision, particularly if they're expected to be accountable for managing cash flow at their station.
Of course.
In other words, if they're counting on money being in the account to cover a check they need to cut or a payment they need to make, you don't want to pull the rug out from under them.
Okay, thank you. Are there any objections to this motion?
Just Tony for a quick...
Yes, Tony.
That doesn't apply to restricted funds. They would still have to be, if they pull funds out of restricted accounts, it would have to, they can't just take funds out of restricted accounts. Let me just say that for the record.
That's correct. They have to be replenished by the end of the fiscal. Okay.
This is Serene.
Yes, Serene.
Okay, so not only do I support the motion, but I think that I understand that money will have to move, you know, around the foundation to handle things because it's cash flow that is an issue as well as cash. But not only do I support the motion, but in principle I support the idea that anytime money is being moved around, that at least the PNB, significant amounts of money, that at least the PNB be kept aware.
Okay, thank you. So are there any objections to this motion? Thank you. Hearing none, let's move on to the next committee report and motions from the Governance Committee. George.
Yes. So the first motion is to have another round of bylaws amendments. It's in Appendix E of the agenda. It was approved unanimously by the Governance Committee in early June. And I will read it.
Would you like to read that timetable, please?
Yeah, I'm about to get to it.
Okay, thank you.
Scrolling down furiously as we do this.
Yeah, okay. Appendix E. For everyone who has the agenda, it's Appendix E. This is an item carried forward from the in-person meeting.
Here it is. Okay. So the timeline would be as follows. The notice date would be July 31st. Everything subsequent to that just follows is basically as the bylaws requires. The close of the notice period would be September 14th, which allows 45 days for the amendments to be discussed. And people who know what they are. The PNB would meet 3 days later on September 17th, and the LSBs would have to act before November 16th.
Oh.
So that's the proposal.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Serene for the staff.
Serene?
Brian, sir.
Okay, so the dates appear to check out in terms of the intervals, but just to clarify for the stream, for the people who are actually not looking at the motion, the governance, and who may not have heard the governance committee meeting, the governance committee agreed that the chair would approve the idea. Let me read them, because I don't think the motion's been read, that preamble. I think it's important. The governance committee recommends that a second bylaw amendment process be initiated in 2015. That is what passed without objection in June. The actual timeline, the motion goes on to say, the end of the period for LSB approval of the proposed amendment from the first cycle is July 6th. I think that date's wrong, by the way. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
The timeline as recommended by the chair is, and then we move to the dates that George mentioned. But it's not as though the committee voted on these particular dates, just to clarify that for the record.
Okay. Also, the end of the current amendment cycle ends on July 20th.
Awesome.
So there are some LSBs that will be, some delegate assemblies and LSBs that will be meeting prior to that, and hopefully we'll get that one bylaws amendment passed. Okay. So is there any objection to correcting the July 6th to July 20th? Thank you. That's what's posted on our website as well. And is there any objection to this motion?
Benito? Yeah, I don't necessarily have an objection. I'm not clear on what the notice date is. And I just wanted to know how to So quick, so early.
Okay, George, you want to explain the bylaws provision?
Yeah, I'm not sure I got Bernito's question, but the notice
date... He wants an explanation for what does the notice date signify?
Yeah, that's the date when the bylaws have to be posted, or are posted, on Pacifica's website. So it's the beginning of the process. The amendments have to be in hand shortly before that to make it happen. Basically, we have a little bit more than 3 weeks to put together amendments for this process, and they will be posted on that date. From that date on, the rest of the times follow as the bylaws requires.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Are there any objections to this motion?
Janet Kay.
Okay. Janet Kay.
So I think I missed
this change from July 20th to July 6th. Does that
no,
for the first
no, July
first
6th,
cycle?
In the motion as it appears in our agenda, the date is erroneously posted at the to date from the current cycle. Says July 6th. It's July 20th. That was what we just passed as an amendment.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Benito.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I just want to apologize to the members of the governance committee because I wasn't able to participate this meeting this past Tuesday, and so maybe I won't ask this question or run all this. But I find it somewhat problematic to set the date, the notice date as July 31st, given that we're in the middle of the elections process. So I would like to ask if we could possibly postpone that thing, you know, so as to give us some more time.
Okay. So, George, you want to respond to that? I mean, I have my own thoughts.
This is a motion to be approved. If people want to change the notice date, then they can... Benito can make an amendment, and if the board wants to do that, they can do that. I would oppose that. I mean, I would like to see this happen and be completed with within as much of the existing governance structure in place as possible. So I would think putting it out later. I'm not exactly clear when the elections are over, but typically it's the new board start sitting in December. It would be a good thing, it seems to me, if this was all done before that happened.
Yeah, that was the main criteria, Benito, was that it should be the current LSBs, since the new LSBs and delegates will be seated in December, and it is the current LSBs, delegates, and PMB that would be privy to the rationale on the amendments, and also some of these amendments might have an impact on the size of the PMB, for example, depending on what happens or doesn't happen by the current cycle. So that was the impetus in having another cycle before that. Yes, Robert.
And for the staff also?
And Serene.
I just wonder why the sentence, the end of the period for LSB approval of the proposed amendment from the first cycle is July 6th, is even in there. Why not just remove it? And I would so move unless someone comes up with a reason not to.
If I may respond, it's helpful to remind everybody that they only have till the 20th. They could conceivably schedule their delegates assembly. We haven't had three assemblies vote on this yet. So if they haven't voted...
I think we're reminded. Brian seconds.
Yeah, okay.
You're seconding what? I'm sorry, point of information. The removal?
Correct.
Okay. So... okay, so this is an amendment to just remove the date altogether. So the previous amendment that passed was to change July 6th to July 20th, and there's a motion by Robert Marr to just strike it altogether. And that's what's on the floor. Any objection to striking it altogether? Oh, I object, so we'll have to call the roll. Yes, Janet?
Okay, point of information.
Yes.
So what would be striked would be that whole sentence starting with the end of the period.
Right.
Right. Okay. Okay, so call the roll, Madam Secretary.
Allen, KPFT.
Allen says yes.
Allen, yes. Argueta, KPFT.
Yes.
Argueta, yes. Burden, WBAI. Jim Brown, WPFW.
Pass.
Jim Brown passes. Steve Brown, WBAI.
Casnave, KPFT.
Yes.
Is that Steve Brown? Votes yes. Casnave, KPFT. Coleman, WBAI.
Yes.
Coleman, yes. Diaz, WPFW.
Yes.
Diaz, yes. Edwards, Tickert, KPFA.
Yes.
Edwards, Tickert, yes. Fuentes, KPFA. Coburn, KPFA votes yes. Lane Ewart, KFAI affiliate.
Yes.
Lane Ewart votes yes. Mark, KPFT.
Mark votes yes.
Mark, yes. Norman, WPFW.
Yes.
Norman, yes. Rabin, WVQR affiliate. Ryder, KPFT.
Abstain.
Ryder abstains. Roberts, WBAI.
I abstain. Harmless.
I'm sorry?
It's harmless. I don't see the point. Not worth the effort. I abstain.
How do you... Roberts abstains. Tucker, WPFW.
Yes.
Tucker votes yes. Burden? Jim Brown, you passed.
Yes.
Jim Brown, yes. Casnave.
Point of information?
Yes, Serene.
I didn't hear Jim's vote clearly.
Jim votes yes. Jim Brown votes yes.
Yeah.
All right, may I count? We're in the middle of the vote. May I count?
Hold on, Jose Luis. I was on mute.
Fuentes, how do you vote?
And can you repeat the motion again?
This is to remove the whole sentence that refers to July 6th in the bylaws amendment process.
The current cycle ending.
Looking for the motion online, and it's not there.
Appendix E.
Is Adriana still on the call?
They're removing the reference to the first cycle.
I have
to change my role.
I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on.
Adriana, did we lose you or are you on mute?
No, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was trying to take back from you.
How do you vote, Casnave?
Yeah, I abstain.
Casnave abstains. Okay.
No, Benito says he wants to change his vote.
Benito, how do you vote?
So I voted no. I made a mistake of voting on the whole motion.
So wait a minute. How are you voting on this amendment?
No, on the amendment to strike the second paragraph, second sentence.
You're voting how?
No.
No.
Okay. Diaz votes no.
Yeah, and Jose Luis, I changed my vote. No.
And Jim Brown, I changed my vote.
Fuentes
no.
Votes no. Jim Brown.
And Jim Brown
votes no. Are we done? May I count? I'm counting. I have 10 yes, 3 no, 3 abstain. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Yes, I vote no.
Lazan votes no. That's 10, 4, 3.
Okay, so now the motion is amended. Are there any objections to the motion as amended?
Janet, can you point information?
Yes.
So we first amended the main motion to correct July 6th to July 20th. So the second
amendment was to remove the whole sentence that would have included July 20th, actually.
That's
right?
Correct.
Right.
Okay, so the motion is amended. Any objections? Hearing no objections, the motion passes. George, next motion?
Is it too late to ask a question?
Okay, Serene, go ahead.
It's hard for me to understand Benita when he was speaking initially, but can someone repeat what he was asking about the date? Why, where he felt it was too early or something?
Yes, he thought it was too close to the election cycle. We'd be busy with elections.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, George, please.
The next item was approved, and I believe without objection, but any of the other members who were there can correct me about that. It's a process for cancellation of committee meetings, and this has been a subject of considerable contention. I'll read the entire motion. Whereas neither Pacifica bylaws nor Robert's Rules of Order specify a process for cancellation of committee meetings, the Governance Committee urges the Pacifica National Board to approve the following as a standing rule. Resolve that meeting dates, including recurring meetings on the Pacifica Board meeting calendar, which have been established by a majority vote of a committee and properly noticed, shall not be canceled except by a majority vote at a properly noticed meeting at which quorum is achieved, or by the written email consent of a majority of committee members. Said consent shall be sent to the entire committee. So that's the motion. It's come up because chairs, me, for instance, have canceled meetings in the past. A motion rather like this was brought to an earlier Pacifica National Board. It was referred back to committee to look to see whether there was something in Robert's Rules of Order that handled the problem. That committee, which I was the chair of, actually thought that there was something in Robert's Rules of Order that allowed that to happen. On a more careful reading, and William Heerwagen was the author of this, and I'm convinced that his reading is correct. What was in Robert's Rules of Order was not for regular committee meetings. It was for the formation of a committee. So I think the statement in the preamble is correct. We don't have a procedure that stands on either Robert's Rules or the bylaws. So this would be the procedure. Basically, a meeting won't be canceled unless, as happened tonight, the piece of Pacifica which scheduled the meeting met and had quorum and decided to cancel it. So that's what it says, and I support it.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Are there any objections to this motion? Benito?
Yeah, you know, I support...
Benito, you keep going in and out.
Yeah.
Did you say you support or you oppose?
I support of the motion.
I still can't hear the word. You support?
Y'all can't hear me, so I'll just abstain.
We can hear you now.
Well, I'm saying I support the I think it's overly strict and the flexibility because things do happen always in a meeting or get a vote.
Okay. Didn't hear too much of it, but it seemed he opposed it because unexpected things happen. And so how would you go about canceling it? I think there's a mechanism there, but are there any objections besides Benito?
I object.
Okay. Can we take the roll unless you want to speak to your objection?
No, I just think that we micromanage and overregulate, and I think that's just silly.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry. This is Serene.
Okay, Serene.
Okay.
the point of the motion was to prevent having a situation where, for example, a chair decides or recognizes that they will not be able to make a particular meeting that the committee has set, so the chair therefore cancels the meeting. This was the origin of this. It's a problem. I don't consider that micromanagement. It's simply that, you know, none of us is really indispensable. If a chair cannot make the meeting, then the body will select a pro tem chair. It's simply to prevent one person from making decisions for the whole body.
Okay. Janet Kay, can I speak to this?
Janet.
And in addition, if a meeting is canceled for that reason, for example, then the work of the committee is delayed, and we can't keep on delaying meeting work, especially based on that kind of situation.
Thank you.
Since I was directly involved in the very first event that this happened, it was not simply that I couldn't make a meeting. It was that it was clear to me that most of the members of the committee were not going to be at the meeting, and it didn't seem to make sense to carry it on. However, I think nevertheless, given the conflict around this, I support this as it stands, even though it is a bit more cumbersome than simply the judgment made by the committee chair, which could have been overruled by any two members of the committee. That was the previous interpretation of Robert's rules to actually hold the meeting. But nevertheless, I think this is fine.
And I don't think it was directed at you, George. There have been several examples, but okay. So several situations that have arisen. Okay, thank you. Are there?